Alex, good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So, Alex, what exactly does a religious freedom entail?
Well, the core of religious freedom is freedom of opinion and freedom of belief. So that's internal to the person. And the idea of that kind of religious freedom in a liberal democracy is that the state and state law can't tell you how to think or what to believe. So that's the core of it. But I think it extends beyond that, obviously, to external manifestations of religious practice, such as attending church on Sunday or mosque or synagogue, so freedom of worship, to pray and these sorts of external things. And then kind of the more debatable element of religious freedom is how far it extends beyond the overtly religious activities to include things like commercial enterprises, education, charitable organizations and things like that. I think that it does extend to that, but that's obviously then limited by the law.
Well, kind of going on that track, a well-known example of religious freedom in the US is when a Christian baker refused to bake a wedding cake for an LGBT couple within the premises of their own business. What kind of merit does this kind of freedom hold if it's limited in their right to discriminate?
So, I mean, the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, which is the one you're referring to there, is a really good example of where I think the debate lies in terms of commercial suppliers. So often when this is talked about in the media, blanket statements such as refusal to serve LGBT people is used. But that's not actually what religious freedom advocates are advocating for. No, very few, and no one really mainstream, is saying that there should just be a blanket right of refusal for any vendor to refuse to serve LGBT people. No one's saying that. What people are saying is that when a particular product is requested and that product is necessarily involves the vendor committing to some sort of view or expressing or endorsing a particular view, then maybe religious freedom could kick in and the vendor would be able to refuse serve of that particular product in that circumstance. But it's not really a cut and dry thing. It involves balancing, I think, the religious freedom against what kind of discrimination is occurring in the particular circumstances.
Well, kind of going down that same kind of thought track, would that then entail people from other religions than, say, Christianity to discriminate against Christianities if they didn't want to serve them?
Well, it would depend on the circumstances. So, for example, I'll give you an example. So, say a Christian couple went to a baker, an LGBT baker, and they said, "Can you please bake a wedding cake for our wedding, which says marriage is between a man and a woman," or something. And say that LGBT baker did not believe or support that proposition. I think that they would be entitled to refuse service on that basis. It might not be a religious freedom issue in that circumstance, or it might be, but it certainly as a matter of not compelling people to go against their conscience, I think that's an important element of religious freedom.
Right. If you're just tuning in to The Daily this morning, we're exploring the ideas of religious freedom with Dr. Alex Dagron, a senior lecturer at the Queensland of Technology Law School. Now, Alex, Tim Wilson has stated that this will have unintended consequences on marginalised people, referring back to these religious freedom law, potential religious freedom laws. What benefits could religious freedom provide to these groups of marginalised people?
So, I mean, according to the article I've seen in terms of this, Peter Dutton and other senior coalition members have concerns about laws against religious discrimination, creating kind of internal religious groups which are then not subject to law, which can produce extremism and things like that, or opening a back door to the entrance of Sharia law. I think that's possibly worth being concerned about, but it would be a matter of actually framing the laws particularly carefully to ensure that that doesn't happen. So, I mean, an important principle here is that religious freedom is not absolute, not an absolute right. As I mentioned before, freedom of belief and individual opinion, that is absolute. That's not something that law can change or impact on. But when you have the external manifestation of religion through practice, then that's not absolute. And that's when you need laws to kind of balance the competing factors. So I think it's worth being aware of those things, and that can be taken into account when any potential forthcoming legislation is drafted and put out for discussion.
Right. Well, that's all the time we've got for this morning. Alex, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for asking me to be here. It's been a pleasure.